Welcome to I'll Marry You, a podcast with me, Olivia Coleman, full of tips and tricks from the UK wedding scene, interviews with industry experts, and a whole lot of oversharing. Ready? Where are you?
In the car, where I do my best work.
Happy birthday to you. Is it too slow? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Al. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you.
Are you wearing a shuffle?
Yeah, it's cold still. It's not yet summer.
That's not the issue.
It's not a shuffle anyway. It's fake. I wore one in the last podcast.
You did? I think I called it a fuffle.
You did call it a fuffle.
You look so handsome.
No, it's the age, I tell you. I have a question about the slowness and the speed. So, you know, when you listen back on your favorite podcast app or whatever, there's like a one time speed and there's a 1.25 speed. And 1.25 seems to be the norm. Because when I put it to one, it sounds like we're both high or like in treacle. Or so like, oh, yeah, really like. But do we speak at 1.25 then? I don't know
how it works.
No.
Drew can answer that.
Anyway, it's not riveting chat, but I...
You know. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
What did you do when you woke up?
I had my wife made me breakfast in bed. Waffles and bacon. Aww. I know, it was wonderful.
Maple syrup?
Yeah, maple syrup. Fruit juice and a coffee. It was absolutely lovely.
What time did you have to go to work?
8 o'clock I left.
God, so that's an early breakfast, isn't it?
It was an early breakfast. Did you
get a card or any gifts?
Card and presents, yeah. What did you get? I got a lovely shirt, a lovely t-shirt, some foodie bits. Yeah, she spoiled me rotten. I'm thrilled.
So, that's impressive that she did that, because you've not long been back from holiday, so she obviously planned in advance.
She's a good planner.
She did it all online, next day delivery, Amazon.
No, well, either way, but she's done very well. She's lovely.
And you're going out for dinner tonight?
Yeah. All good.
Somewhere fancy?
I'm not sure the listeners are going to be this riveted at this, but yeah. just for burgers at a nice little burger place in Worcester. So.
That's great. Mm. That is great. Mm. Oh, many happy returns. 38.
Seven.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. But you've got grey head and tan skin. How was skiing? Al's just come back from skiing.
It was good. Yeah, I'm in one piece. It's always quite full on. I'm not a natural skier, but I can get down.
I don't imagine you as a natural skier.
No. I haven't got the elegance.
Have we ever skied together?
No, we haven't. I think that's probably for the best.
Did you do lots of après ski, lots of boozing?
A little bit, yeah. We went to the Folly one day and got a bit, you know, dancing.
Do you think you're so cool that you can just call it the Folly?
I think, is that not what people call it? I don't know.
No, it's called Folly Deuce.
I hate the word deuce, though. Just douche, you know? So
deuce?
Yeah.
Not douche. It's not Folly Douche.
It's full of them. But
you had a nice time.
Yes, fabulous. Thank you. It was wonderful.
Now, that's actually a good segue into what I want to talk to you about today.
Go on.
So I want to talk to you about stags and hens, because now it's finally the time that can help me.
It's time.
I know. I messaged Al and was like, finally, and I actually got something constructive to talk to you about. but one of the things that is becoming very popular, apparently, is ski trips.
What, as a stag?
For stags.
Crikey. Yeah. It's a very expensive expense. That'll be one of my consumer points, I think, is cost, but we'll move on
to the consumer point.
Well, just that, you know, when planning one, you know, you need to be careful of cost, because it's not affordable for
everybody. I'm not even pulling your leg.
I'm delighted.
Yeah. three of my brides in the last 6 weeks have emailed to say that they've just been skiing and they've broken some body part.
Yeah, it's a risky game.
Yeah. It's a very dangerous sport. So it's a bit silly, I think, for a stag. Anyway, so last week, I'll tell you, because you don't listen to this podcast.
I do. Our bits.
Anyway, do you?
Some.
You know, just our episode. Yeah. I found a new podcast. I'll tell you about that later.
Oh, no.
So last week and the week before, we did a two-parter. We interviewed, Ellie, who works for a nationwide, internationwide.
That's not a thing, I don't
company
think. Yeah, we'll move on.
That called Go Hen, and they arrange stag do's and hen do's.
Okay.
So I've got all the inside info.
Like a sort of Design My Night type website, you know, that one that's...
No, what's that?
Well, it does what it says on the tin, yeah.
Yeah. So basically, you go onto this website or you phone them up or whatever. She said that they are tour guides, not travel agents.
Okay, nice.
Apparently, there's a difference.
Yes.
So you go on and you're like, right, I've got this many people. We're thinking this kind of style or this kind of place, this kind of budget. Mm. And they put it all together. They put all the activities together. I had to admit to her quite early on in the interview that I don't like organized fun.
No. Yeah, there's a big risk of that, I think. Because not everyone wants to do the sort of, well, I imagine the standards on there. But yeah.
That's it. That's what I said to her. How can you plan? Guess how big is the biggest hen party she'd ever planned? How many?
In terms of numbers? Oof.
Yeah.
I think probably.
As opposed to what?
Well, yeah, quite.
The size of the quiche at lunch?
I'm going to say 40, because any more is just.
60.
Jesus Christ. That is.
Isn't that mad?
Yeah, I know Ali had like 26 on hers, which is pretty hefty. And I had quite a few stags on mine as well. Yeah.
Well, so this is what I want to hear. I want to hear your stag story.
Mm. It was lovely.
Have you ever planned a stag?
Yeah, I've planned one and a half. I was sort of a co-planner on another one. And
did they have two best men?
Yeah, it was Tim's, and we all had co-duties within it. So
that's because he doesn't trust one of you to do that, and the other one to do the other thing.
Probably quite rightly, actually. We all did our parts well, I think, in the end.
What was your part?
I did the speech and the sort of ceremonial stuff on the day. Matt planned the stag. We had Centre Parks, actually, which you wouldn't think of a stag do location. And certainly the poor suffering family with their two children in the chalet or whatever it was next door to us weren't thrilled, I don't think. But it was great.
That's pricey.
It wasn't too bad. We went sort of off season. And we stayed in a really nice sort of apartment. And yeah, it was great. Really good fun.
So how long ago was that stag?
That was 2018. So that was a while.
And
the other one I planned was Charles's in, well, 20 years ago. Yeah. So.
Did you enjoy planning it? Did you feel pressure to plan it? Talk me through your emotions.
I think if it helps if the stag is quite clear on what they want. So when I did my brother's, he wanted generational things like family involved, and not to go, you know, out, but just have a sort of take up a house somewhere and just have a weekend all together, you know, doing active, like drinking and eating, and you know, there was a swimming pool and stuff like that. So one sort of big house where everyone was together, which is what I wanted for my own, and which is what we did, which is fantastic. So
yeah, we'll get on to that. Yeah, stick to the script.
Sorry.
So the one you Tim's one that you planned, how did he ask you to?
No, he said to Matt to do, because it was part of our, he delegated the stuff among us, and he said to Matt, you can plan the stag, because Matt's like the big, you know, going out man in our group. Mm. And then,
but I don't imagine him to be the most organized.
No, well, he's not bad, but he took on the reins, but then he came to us for help and we didn't really know what to do. And then we just all sort of said, well, hang on, what about Centre Parks? Because we didn't have a massive group of us, and it was...
How many of you were there?
Only six on that one, so...
That is quite random, Al.
It was random, but it was good fun.
Did you take your own bikes?
We rented bikes. And well, I don't think they were equipped for stag dudes, because we got there and like, oh, mate, can we put the stag in like one of the baby compartments on the bike? They're like, no, they weren't having any of it. So,
well, this is it, because actually when you talk about things like fancy dress or doing silly stuff, a lot of places won't let you do that. And Centre Parks is a family friendly place.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But none of the stags I've been on have been, you know, what you'd call like traditional. Well, no, they've been, you'd be getting drunk and stuff, but none of them have been like the sort of seedy part of it that you hear about, like, you know, like strip clubs.
Have you not had been to a strip club?
No.
In life,
I went when I was like 18 to one in Cardiff.
Don't you lie, you've been since.
No.
What was it called?
I can't remember. It was literally 20 years ago. but no, so I, but none of them have been like that. And Chaz, when I did his, was very explicit. He didn't want any of that nonsense. And I said the same to him when he was mine. And Tim was the same.
So you didn't find planning it stressful. You quite enjoy planning it.
Yeah, well,
you went to Centre Parks and you
the two I the two I've helped plan as well, my brother and my best mate. So they've been fairly, you know what they were about, sort of thing.
Was it expensive?
Centre Parks was. Yeah, it's. I mean, it was the while you're there, it was expensive because it's only restaurants and there's like a little supermarket at Centre Parks. I know you go every 5 minutes with Lola, but
the Centre Parks supermarket,
it's like Waitrose on heroin. It's unbelievable.
Oh my god. The supermarket in Center Park is like the most expensive grocery store.
Yeah, no, it's outrageous.
On this earth. Last time we went as a family, I was like, I'm not having this shit. Yeah, I'm not paying £15 for some toothpaste.
Absolutely.
So I left Center Parks and went to the Asda up the road.
Classic. I always think you're not allowed to leave Center Parks until your day, you know, some kind of like cult vibes. You get met by men in white cloaks going, oh no, today's not your day
you
for
leaving.
You
can't leave Center Parks once you've entered Center Parks.
Yeah, absolutely. I do get vibes, but yeah, no, it was good fun, but it is very expensive.
Did you go on the rapids?
We did. That
did
was
you
actually,
dress him up?
We didn't dress him up. We got sort of t-shirts with his picture on, and we all wore those. But
oh god,
no, it wasn't too bad. But we did go on the rapids, and that was basically what there was to do, was the water park part. And so we just six like men surrounded by young families, quite pissed men as well, going down the rapids.
Was there ever a point where you were like, come here, little Timmy, had to pretend that one of the kids was yours?
I'm fairly certain that where there was like a dual inflatable like thing you go down the big slide on. And I'm fairly certain that at one point one of us had to go with a small child because like we'd fucked up the order, basically. So we were like put in there. We'd had quite a few beers at this point. I don't know.
Hello, small child.
At what point does it become a crime? That was what I was really wondering about. So,
I can just picture it. Doesn't that happen in a film where they're like, which one's yours? And he's like, this one. He's like, no, that one's mine.
Yeah. It's very bad. It's very bad.
When it came to your stag, so those stags were both of them before yours. Yeah. So when it came to yours, how excited were you about it? Like when you got engaged, was it, where on your list of priorities was it? Be honest.
No, I really looked forward to it, but I was keen for it. I wanted like my dad and Ali's dad and like
your dad's. How many dads?
I wanted it to be like a multi-generational thing, you know. And I think it's nice to invite your future father-in-law and stuff. And so I wanted it, but it was fairly high up my. It was something you look forward to, definitely a stag do, and especially when you get what you make.
So your best man was Chaz, your brother, my cousin, and. Did he? The thing is, really, you're not the person to talk to about this because you're
just realizing this now.
No, I am, because you're a very decent man.
Did you try? Were you hoping for some sort of like debauchery or something in here?
Yeah, I was.
No, but I the closest I ever got to debauchery on Chaz's stag. So we went to this lovely place near Tewkesbury, like cottages and lakes and stuff, all very gentrified. And then we were the only booking on this whole estate. And then on the first night, the owner came up to us. So I'm really sorry, chaps. I know I said you've got the whole place for the weekend, but we have taken a last minute booking in the buildings over the lake. And we were like, oh, right. And he said, I'm afraid it's a hen party. So at the time, the single ones of us were like, get in, you know, woo. So that evening, because there was a lake separating us from the bevy of hot single women that we imagined over the other side of the lake. I went on an expedition with a couple of the other stags on a rowing boat across this lake.
That doesn't scream desperation.
No, not at all. But it was more like the Marines. We sort of crept silently across the inky black lake. And then we got out and were peering through the trees in a really non-creepy way, I promise. And we were there, and like the first few people we saw were like rather elderly Asian women, like quite a few. And that's strange. Maybe they're like doing, you know, maybe they're the entertainment or something. I don't know. And then, but they basically, they
what would be their skill?
I don't know. But they were all old Indian women. It turns out the bride to be was a 74-year-old Indian woman, and all her mates were there. And my friend looked at me and was like, "We've only gate crashed Mother Teresa's hen party." So that was very funny. And it's like we came back and everyone was like, "How'd it go?" And we're like, "Don't talk about it. Shut up. It's fine."
So, oh my god, that's hilarious.
Yeah, it was funny.
So not only are you a decent man, but your brother's a decent man. So when it came to planning your stag, he came to you and said, "What do you want?" And you went,
"Yeah." He said, "Vague."
Yeah, I'm an absolute pussy, and I want something clean.
I said basically. Yeah, I want everyone together for the weekend in a nice like big communal space that we can all hang out and get pissed, eat nice food, and do some activities. And then Chaz knows me well, so it was basically 90s bad tracksuit theme football, and it was amazing. It was absolutely fantastic. And
how many men?
25, I think it was nearly.
Did you never at any point think of having a woman, like let's say for example your cousin who? You one would, of the favourite people.
If I was to invite any woman, it would have been you. But I didn't think about it, I'm afraid. No.
That's rude.
Yeah.
So you had 20 odd blokes in a house in the arse end of nowhere.
Yeah, it was a very strange house. It hadn't been upgraded. Like some of the rooms were palatial, some were like literally cupboards. And so Chaz had quite a lot of fun assigning the rooms to in order of sort of favouritism. I think Matt ended up in a like the airing cupboard, I think, bless him. But yeah, no.
In a sink.
Yeah, it was pretty much.
So what you got there on a Friday?
Friday afternoon.
Talk me through the weekend.
Well, the thing is, the tendency on stags is everyone's really excited. And then, so the first night, which is supposed to be the sort of, if you do a two-dayer, the first
night. You overdo it.
First night's
on
supposed
day
to,
one.
Yeah, first night's supposed to be quiet and, you know, getting to know who you don't know and having a few drinks. But everyone goes ballistic. And we had a big meal and then ended up playing drinking games. And they made me drink a bottle of something called Thunder Pitch, which is every bit as disgusting as it sounds. It's chili and cinnamon whiskey. And I threw up. And I was the worst hangover I've ever had in my entire life.
You look handsome today, by the way.
Yeah. Thank you. I'm much older than when
this beard. This beard's getting considerably grey by the day.
It's really grey. Really grey. But I don't hate it. I'm thinking like latter day ER Clooney is what I'm going for.
I was actually going to say Hugh Jackman.
Oh my God. I'll take it.
I know.
I'll take it.
I don't know. I'm obviously drunk.
Yeah.
Continue. For your own stag, you wanted something.
Where we were all together, chaps together in a sort of, you know, because like some stags I've been on, which have been really fun, but out and about in a town, people tend to bugger off in different directions once a certain level of booze has been consumed. So I wanted everyone in one place. And it was really fun. Got a few bad outfits, like dodgy tracksuits from the 90s and bit of football golf.
How many people were there?
I think like around 20, 25 maybe. So I had most of my cousins.
I didn't know you had that many friends, if I'm honest.
No, I bolstered with family. it was really fun. Big meal on the first night, and then everyone gets the first night buzz where everyone gets too excited and needs to pace themselves, and no one does. And I was in a terrible state.
Did you vomit?
Yeah, more than once, I think. It's
did you organise, did you have caterers or did you do it all yourself?
No, Chaz and my dad cooked a big chili and loads of bits to go with it on the Friday. And then, yeah, then on the Saturday we had they did a big ham and all that sort of stuff. And we were all in tuxedos on the main event Saturday night. It was great fun. It was really, really
fun. Who cooked on the Saturday night then?
Chaz did as well. He made his big like joint of meat and stuff. Yeah, no, he was amazing. He really did really well. I feel a bit bad because I just got really drunk and having organised everything.
Well,
I thought my job was done.
That was years previous. You were a mere better child. Mm. So probably it wasn't that expensive for the stags to attend.
No, I reckon. I think we did a couple of activities. We did like football, golf, and then we did some sort of sports day, where the level of athleticism was probably pretty dire. More like a Paralympics, probably. I reckon all in with the hire of the place, I don't know how much it costs, because, you know, but I think probably...
You.
What I've spent on most stag do's that haven't been abroad, a couple hundred quid for the weekend, which seems fair for all everything you get.
Well, you'd spend that. Accommodation is so expensive in this country. I feel like you'd spend that just going away.
Well, that's it. Well, you live near Bath, which is like the Hindu capital of the world, isn't it?
And, I know, Hindu central.
Yeah, and like the prices. I know Ali's been on a couple in Bath, and it's just like crazy money they're charging for it, but...
Did you have, with all the stags there, did you have lots of different people from different parts of your life that didn't know each other?
Not many. Obviously my mates know my family and stuff, and cousins like your brother and my other cousins have met over the years. But Ali's one brother came, both were supposed to, and he hadn't met everyone, but he'd gone on pretty well. And then Ali's dad came, and he's sort of treated by my friends as like there's some sort of reverence around him and stuff. So they all kept.
He's quite terrifying. We've said this before publicly.
Yeah. But he has a good presence. So I think everyone thought they were like dining with Churchill or something at one point. It was great. But he got really stuck in.
I love
in,
Churchill.
So, yeah, no. He was a bit concerned for my welfare. I think on the Friday night we had a Nerf gun with like playing like Russian roulette, and there was one bullet in the gun, and they rigged it so every time I shot, it hit me, and I had to drink.
What kind of bullet?
like a Nerf bullet, you know, like a styrofoam thing. And he came in and said, what on earth are you all doing? And I said, we're playing Russian roulette. And he's like, what are you drinking? It was something called Thunder Bitch, which is...
What's that?
It's whiskey with chili and cinnamon. It's absolutely repulsive.
That's what the nickname I give to my vagina. Careful. The Thunder Bitch is coming out tonight.
It does conjure up images.
Did he go to the whole weekend?
Whole weekend. I think he got stuck in the bath because basically this place
Stop.
This place hadn't been renovated since the 70s or 80s, and like the bathrooms were, you know, you see in like those old 80s films that like Pretty Woman, you know, that enormous bath they have in the room.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like 6 foot sides and stuff, and he got stuck in the bath. And he had to
bless him. How long was he in there for?
I think he sent an SOS, and I think he was extracted, but he said it was like trying to scale the north face of a mountain trying to get out of it and stuff.
But he would have been naked, I assume.
I think his son went to get him. I don't think any of the others.
And so?
Yeah, yeah. But I think it was spectacular. But
did anyone misbehave?
No. And that's the thing. Like, from personal preference, like, if you sort of keep everyone together and you're in a house rather than in the town, like, you know, I think it keeps everyone slightly on the straight and narrow and keeps everyone together, which is the main thing, I think, to...
Was there not a bit of you that wanted to... I suppose it's slightly different, not saying that you don't make an effort when you go out, but... No. But like,
I used to wear cardigans to nightclubs, to be fair. So, like, yeah, I mean... Like,
but like, for girls, a lot of... I'm generalising, but a lot of the fun of going out is getting ready and then going out and, like, people watching.
Yeah, I get seeing...
So was there not a part of you that was like, maybe, I want to see other humans?
No, I think maybe it's because I was... a bit older, like a slightly older groom, maybe.
You weren't that old. How old were you?
Well, what was it? 2 years ago. 35? Yeah, I'm about to turn 35.
Yeah, that is quite old.
My clubbing days, or my days leaving the house, were long behind me, to be fair. So, yeah. I think maybe, you know, if you're a bit younger and stuff. But, I mean, I like the idea, you know, don't get me wrong, if someone had said stag do Ibiza or something, but the thing is, it costs about £1,000 each, and you just can't, you know, I wouldn't want anyone to pay that for me. So
no, they probably wouldn't have, to be honest.
Exactly. Remove them from the equation.
If you were going to go back, what would be, like, don't worry about offending anyone because none of your friends listen to the podcast. Mm. What would be like the dream? Like, if you were going to now, today, plan your own stag.
No, I think mine was the dream, like, because it got everything I wanted. I love a bit of football, golf's really fun, and the bad tracksuits added a really good, like, thing, and everyone together and got nice and pissed. The only thing I'd change is that those of us who went hard on the Friday, basically on the Saturday night after the dinner, all my mates sloped off and passed out about 10:30, and it was the old guard that that stayed up and had a great time, and like, we could hear them all, because this house, I can't really put it into words.
So you went to bed early as well on the Saturday night.
I tried my best, but I don't think I reached midnight. But like, we were about, I don't know, 6 miles away in our bedroom, and you could hear this like raucous laughter from the dining hall and stuff. So
who was it? Just the dads?
Your brother, my brother, the dads, and the older cousins and brothers-in-law and stuff. So yeah, no, it's but everyone had a
was
really
James
good time.
Did James wait up, my husband?
I don't know. I think he would have done, actually. He was probably outside
smoking.
I'd say he was the one that abused me the most on the stag do.
Oh, I am sorry.
No, I love him, but he...
What a little fucker.
He, when we played, we did zorbing, you know, bubble football.
Yeah.
And I was not in a good way. I wasn't feeling particularly athletic.
I just have a vision of you in the plastic hamster wheel. So like, hot. Vomiting, and the vomit like sloshing around your head.
It was rank. And every time I tried to get up, he just kept bashing me. Like,
oh my God, I would kill him.
Yeah, no, but there's a video somewhere, and he just absolutely hammers me, and it's great fun. But by the end, I was so tired that whoever was filming goes, is he all right? I was just all limbs. I was just floppy. And I genuinely thought I might die at one point because it was so fucking hot in that zorb.
Oh, and when you're hungover, you're like sweating it out anyway.
I had
well.
A belly full of the bitch. And, you know, I wasn't feeling...
Of the Thunder Bitch.
Of the Thunder Bitch. So I wasn't feeling...
But also, that's
hot.
A risky game for him to play, because let's be honest, even though, like, you guys are friends, he's just a cousin, and even though you and I are best friends, he's just a cousin's he's just a cousin's husband. Like, he's not your friend, he's not your family. Like, he could be ghosted like that.
Yeah, no, but I think every stag do has a bloke who's like a good stagger, you know, like a professional stagger.
Do you think he's a good stagger?
Definitely a good stagger. He gets on with everyone. He chats to everyone and gets stuck in. So.
Well, I know, because at the wedding, at your wedding, it was like he was going up to all of your old friends that I've known since I was like 13.
Greasing them like they were long lost brothers. Yeah,
they were like, oh my God, JC. It's like, excuse me, you haven't seen me in 10 years.
That is one really good thing, and why I've been invited on a couple of stag do's where I only know the groom or maybe one other, but it makes the wedding a lot of fun if you've done that first.
Like, yeah, it does.
If you've broken that sort of the ice or whatever with them.
But then also, like, if you and you're absolutely right, but if I was invited to a hen do where I didn't know anyone and it was really expensive and I wasn't that bothered by it, that to me, the reason of going so that I can be friends with people one day in the future isn't enough reason.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's how I mean.
No, I think that's fair. I think that's fair enough. I
do you know what I mean?
I the most recent one I went on, I sort of did my what I used to do is like a slope off early and
classic. Do you just tell them you're going to the loo?
Well, no, this time I my reasons were more genuine this time, but like basically I went to,
I've sharted.
I don't know, I can't remember.
I appear to have shat myself.
I wouldn't be surprised if I had at that point. No, but we basically
very loose.
I didn't know anyone by the groom, and it was the end of it was a music festival in Brixton, and I was.
Oh, that is way too edgy for you.
Again, cardigans, nightclubs, this is me. Yeah, right, yeah, you understand. But so I was a bit nervous, and I'd gone down to London early with Ali, so I basically sat on my own in Borough Market before the stag do at 9 a.m. this was, and I had
a lovely quiche.
I had a free range sausage and egg back and a couple of pints, and to sort of ease into it, and then so by the time I got there, and everyone was lovely and really nice. But then at the music festival, they obviously knew each other and they were going crazy. And I was like, shit, I'm out of my depth here. So,
and also your music taste is akin to your fashion choices when you go out clubbing, being cardigans. Like your music taste is as mine.
Yeah.
So you're not going to be, you're not going to be in your element at a music festival in Brixton in this century.
No, exactly. So I went for a wee, and then they'd all disappeared off to another, and there was like 10,000-15,000 people. And I was like, and I had about 10% battery on my phone. I had to get across London. So I was like, fuck this. I had to go.
So you just left?
Oh yeah, I left.
And you just crawled back to your wife. Like absolute pousset.
Ali was at a very gentrified housewarming party in Harrow, which is very far from where I was. And I said to Ali, I'm worried I'm going to be a bit pissed when I get back because I'm a bit nervous and I'm going to have to drink much to compensate. And she said, oh, it'll be fine. It's a housewarming. Everyone will be hammered. And I was like, okay, great. I got there. And no one was hammered. And I turned
up. So you left a stag do music festival in Brixton to join a housewarming party in Harrow.
At 6:30 p.m. I had the music festival. they were still sweeping it from the night before. Like when I left, they hadn't even got going.
Oh my God.
Yeah, but I arrived at the party and I was an absolute Ali was like, oh shit.
Were you really bad?
I was quite drunk.
Do you know the absolute worst is... when you're hungover, I can deal with the headaches.
Yeah, no, I can't
deal
with
the waves of nausea.
No, I prefer nausea. I'll swap out your nausea. For my headaches ruin me. I can't do it.
No, the waves of nausea. And where was I? That was it. After Charlotte, sister-in-law Charlotte, after her birthday in London, and I went to her birthday party without James and without Lola. So mum's on the loose. Like I knew I was going to get wrecked.
Yeah, yeah.
And I had to get the tube back to Paddington, and I can't tell you. Being on a tube, hungover, I was stood there and I was like, I can't be sick in my bag because I know what's in it and I don't want to ruin that stuff. So I was looking around other people's bags and then like, would they hit me? How would I do it? And then it was like, which end is this going to come out of? Yeah. And then like that warm air you get in the tube that hits you. It's the most. You want to be hungover in the countryside, not on a tube in London.
It just reminded me of, one of Ali's friends, she's lovely. She's called Daisy, but she's notoriously... unfortunate with things. Like things happen to her that don't make any sense to anyone else. And she was on a she'd just been to
the, oh, I want
to
meet her.
She'd been to the proms or something in London. So she was in a beautiful dress and it was like Friday night or whatever. And she got on the tube to go home. No, she was either going to the proms or coming back from. And these two young girls who are legless got on and one of them threw up on her in the tube. And then they got off.
Oh my God.
And then the train pulled into the station. The girls, rather than apologise, just legged it off the train. Like couldn't handle it. I know. I just reminded me. I was like, oh, no. But yeah, it got me thinking.
Absolutely repugnant.
All this talk about stags and hens and stuff. I was thinking about this before we started recording. I was like, I don't have a clue what you did for yours. What did you do?
Oh, you are. Alex just winked at me because I told him to ask me that question.
All
thank you so much for asking, Al.
Yeah, you are.
I'm not even ready. not even ready to respond to it because I had no idea it was coming. Do you actually know what I did for my hair?
No,
or
I
not?
Actually don't.
Probably not.
Apart from this elaborate ruse we've done, I didn't actually have
a phone. Well, you don't ask me about myself.
That's not true. Not true in the slightest.
Because I just tell you without you having to ask.
Exactly. I get a word in edge.
So I don't like forced entertainment, as you know.
No.
Or forced activities or anything that requires some sort of schedule.
Yeah. You did have a glitter party for your 30th. I remember that.
Well, there was glitter there.
Yeah, it was good.
Generally, in the wake of wherever I did walk.
It was a good do.
So I didn't want it to be a big thing. I, like you, I'm not quite as dull as you, but I didn't want it to be out in the town.
No.
I wasn't against the idea, but I didn't want it to be in a city. But my main thing was that I didn't want it to be really expensive.
No. Yeah, no.
Because you know how cheap I am. But also, so I resent people having to spend a lot of money.
Well,
I don't think it's fair.
We talked about it at a previous show, like the wedding tax, the stag do and hen do tax now is obscene. Yeah. Like it's madness.
Is that like a real thing?
I think so. We talked Design My Night Again, you know, that sort of stuff. They just whack on a premium for, you know, oh, you get to play darts. Oh, it's £400 each. It's like, nothing.
Oh, well, that's the thing with weddings. So I was very conscious of that. I didn't want people to have to spend lots of money. And my favourite night out, as you know, because you've been there over the years many, many times, is at home dancing in the kitchen.
Oh, yeah. Those are the best. That's kind of the same vibe I was going for. Sort of, yeah. You know.
Those are the best ones. So we stayed at mum and dad's.
Nice.
So we didn't even have to pay for accommodation. Well, so we could, I think there was about 15, maybe 12 or 14 of us, so we could all stay there. Mm. It was summer, so we had the pool and it was hot and we had the garden. The first night, we had a man come and cook a paella.
Oh, very nice. Muy bien.
A paella.
Paella.
The same one that did mum's birthday. And so he came and did a paella and we had, the theme then was everyone was wearing bright colours and I was wearing white.
Nice. Regal. Beautiful.
And we had a butler in the buff.
That's right. Did he have a spotty bottom?
Spotty bottom.
Yes, now I remember.
Spotty bottom, because he'd had a shaving rash. You do. You don't want a hairy.
I think I'd rather hairy than spotty.
I don't. It depends on the level of hair and or spot.
Yeah.
I can deal with spots anywhere if they don't have a white head.
They don't have white heads, do they? But
I didn't get that close.
You were the bride to be. I thought that's the whole point.
No, it wasn't.
I thought
like
he served you canapes from his butt cheeks, though. Is that not how it works?
He was just tempura prawn.
oh no.
Maybe a cocktail sausage from the front.
Oh, for heaven.
So we had him, and we had all my best girlfriends, and that night we invited some of my mum's friends because, as you know, I'm friends with a lot of my mum's friends.
Multi generational.
And then the next day, I started drinking from the get-go, obviously. And then we just hung by the pool and there was inflatables and music and we were all drinking mimosas. And then everyone had to sober me up because then we were going into Ledbury, into town, to have an afternoon tea, which was very nice. But it was like a civilized for about an hour. And then we all just went outside in the pub garden and just drank.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then that night we had a dinner that I think mum cooked. Do you have a caterer? I can't remember. And the theme was pink and gold, my two favorite colors.
Amazing.
Totally wrecked. And then the next day we just had a pub lunch and everyone left.
That sounds perfect. I'd go for if I was it's kind of what I did go for, but
I do think if I could change it, I would go. I'm now less bothered about people spending money on me.
Yeah, now you're all for it.
Now I'm all for it. I just think, you know, come on, guys, loosen the purse strings. I wouldn't be against going to, I'm not bougie enough for like an obvious place like Mykonos or Marbella.
No, no.
But I would quite like the idea actually of going abroad.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, somewhere hot, you mean, rather than like.
Yeah.
You wouldn't do a Vegas. Vegas or. Apparently, there's been a rise of skiing stag and hen do recently.
There has.
I mean,
but three of my brides, and I tell you this, three of my brides in the last 3 weeks have emailed me because they've broken something skiing.
Yes, you did tell me that. Yeah, that's
unacceptable.
Yeah, no, it's madness. But no, I think the cost thing is the big thing, because your fella James went to, did he go to Czech Republic or Hungary or something?
Prague.
Yeah, yeah. And like, I would have loved to have gone, but at that time I was a bit like, It was. I was like, oh, I mean,
were you invited?
I think so. Unless I made that up.
No, you were invited. You were invited. But right, okay. Now, what drove me up the fucking wall about my husband's stag? I've got to be so careful what I say. People listen to this podcast. I had a planning meeting yesterday, and they were like, she was like, oh, it's so surreal meeting you in real life. Mm. And then he kept asking me things. By the way, they both love you. They were like, oh my God, Cousin Al sounds like it's so fun. So yeah. He's not. He's an absolute.
Do I get
actually, I didn't. I said, you're the funniest, one of the funniest people I know.
I thought you were going to say one of the myself. Funniest people on this podcast. I was like,
yes, the second funniest co-host on this podcast. But I was talking to him about it. And so I have to be careful what I say because people do actually listen.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I could offend some people. Meh. So
never
James'
stopped
best
before.
Man.
Yeah.
Who is...
I remember. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So he organized the stag do, which made me nervous. Mm. And we knew it was in Prague. We knew it was like 3 days. We knew... That's all I knew. And that was fine. But James was so excited, bless him, that obviously he can't pack for himself, like his own suitcase, because he still doesn't.
Yeah.
He's a man child.
Yeah.
But so I was like packing his bag and he was like, oh, I don't know what we're going to do. So I'll pack this. And he like brought some new shorts and some new shoes and he was all excited. Mm. And then they got to the airport and his best man said that, told him that he'd left his suitcase at home. But when he came to pick him up, he swapped his suitcases. And then the only suitcase that James had for the entire stag was women's clothes.
Right, yeah.
Oh, why? Yeah. It was so gross. With women's clothes. So James had to spend and James was genuinely pissed off. And he rang me when they landed and was like, he's all I've got to wear is women's clothes. And I was furious.
Yeah, because you want to look good as well.
Yeah. You know. And I cannot bear when you're out on a night out or whatever, and you see the stags looking like absolute twatters.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
It's just so, it's just like, really, that's so unnecessary. Mm. So I was really angry. He got t-shirts made.
Yeah.
With like JC's stag and like an outline of a naked woman, but he misspelled stag or JC or something. I mean, this boy, God love him, could misspell JC.
Yeah. That's where we're at with him. CJ Stab.
I can't. Yeah, no. Like, he had an amazing time and they did really cool activities and it was really fun.
Yeah.
And then on the last day, the best man revealed that he actually had his original suitcase all along.
Oh no, that's worse though.
I know.
Yeah.
I was livid. I was just like, that's because that to me, that's not about James. That's about you thinking that's funny. And that's not funny.
He read like how to banter. Yeah. Sort of, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He Googled what to do for a stag.
I understand. And the thing is though, like there is some pressure on being the best man because you do have a lot of people to please and a lot of different tastes and you often don't know a lot of the people you're catering for. So there is
one
quite a lot
thing
of pressure
that offends one person won't offend another.
Yeah, quite. I mean, you can eliminate risk, you know, like by not packing.
Who's risk?
By like packing
risk, I'm eliminating you.
For the thongs and skirts. Like you don't need to do that, you know. And again,
you don't need to do that. It shouldn't be about taking the piss out of the person getting married.
Right. So this is what I was going to say to you. My biggest thing was I don't want.
Oh yeah.
I don't want. No. I didn't want like that humiliation side of it. Like I want the blokes and the people I love the most having a great time chatting, getting on. More importantly, they all get on, you know, meet before the wedding. It's a really nice thing. I don't want to be like duct taped to a tree, you know, like in the park somewhere naked and like, you know what I mean? You hear all these horror stories. Like, Jesus
no, you
Christ.
Don't.
I actually went, to Prague years ago for Tim's birthday, his 30th. And there was a stag party on the plane. Bear in mind, this was January. And there was a load of lads from Newcastle. They'd like come, they were on the plane. They're like, oh, yeah, big stag do, like, you know, all that bloody good time in Prague and all this.
So are they Caribbean
That's a Geordie accent, but a very good one.
Right.
Thank you, fucking.
Right.
Anyway, the air stewardess.
Thank you, Carol Cole.
The air stewardess was like getting quite concerned because he was basically wearing a leotard, this guy. And she was like,
he could be in prison.
She was like, sir, it's the ground temperature in Prague is like minus 18. And like the bloke said, oh, don't worry, we got it sussed. And basically, when they got off the plane, they basically wrapped him in tinfoil like he was a turkey. You know, you see marathon runners and stuff. They basically covered him in tinfoil and sent him out. I was like, that doesn't look like fun for anybody. I don't know. And as you say, I think it's more fun for the people like...
And that's such a waste of tinfoil.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, it's bloody expensive stuff.
Yeah. I know, it's not cost of living.
Unless you get the cheap Aldi stuff that I get. That doesn't, it's not even,
oh, but that tears. Even, it tears on one side and then you can't unravel it.
It even tore on a particularly floppy pitter I tried to wrap up the other day. That
I
comes
don't want to talk about your floppy pitter. Thank you very much. That is not what this podcast is about. No, I had a groom once who, and I'll never forget it, and he's one of the first ones, one of the first weddings I did, so it was a couple of years ago. And he was always been, I assume he still is, a part of like this group of core guy friends that went to school together.
Yeah.
And ever since, they once a year, they go away. They like, they are a core group to the point where they have like nicknames for each other. They have like meeting, annual meetings.
Yeah.
Like it's quite it's like a fraternity. Mm. And he was telling me about some of the stag do's that this group had been on before. And I mean, like actually, like I think some of them should get arrested.
Yeah.
There was one where the stag was not allowed to eat.
Not allowed to eat.
He wasn't allowed to eat.
Jesus.
All he could do was drink water. Like that's actual fucking torture.
Yeah, that's not good.
There was another one where if he said anything that wasn't funny to people, they pissed on him. Like what on Jesus actual Christ. Earth? It was, but because it was this group of same guys, every time someone got married, they were like trying to outdo each other.
Yeah.
So it was like, I mean,
how'd you outdo pissing?
I'd be terrified.
Yeah. He went the wrong way down the street to be shit on him. Yeah. No, I was going to say, like, how does it?
If he wakes up late, that's it. I'm pissing in his eye.
No, it's too much. It's too much. It's not nice.
It's that's so. It was just. I mean, don't get me wrong. It makes us some cracking anecdotes.
Yeah.
But I was like, that's not like that's not kind. That's bullying.
Mm. No, absolutely, it's not nice. It's yeah. That's where I don't. I'm not a fan of it. And you see people look like they're having a good time, but I bet actually most of those people that do that shit don't really think. Oh yeah, classic night. When we pissed on Johnny's face. Like,
Remember that time we shat in the eye of our friend Steve?
No, I don't know.
Did I ever tell you my Axel story?
No.
Okay, we can finish on this because this is a good one.
Excellent.
So,
once we're not finishing on James's penis. Wait.
I never finish on James's penis.
I'm glad we got a mention in there. Sorry, James.
Great. Yeah.
Sorry, CJ.
By the way, he was driving from a racetrack yesterday, a 6-hour drive, and he screenshotted me the general screenshot of the podcast and then just put anything funny. Like, is there an episode with Al that I can listen to?
Yeah.
Unacceptable. Right. So I was bridesmaid for Charlotte, my sister-in-law.
Yes.
And I was planning her hen do and it was a very civilized affair. It was all done very well. Anyway, two of her best friends couldn't make the hen do. So even though she had said to me and the other bridesmaid, I do not want a stripper categorically, I would not be against it myself, but whatever.
So we
didn't organize one, but these two best friends that couldn't make the hen do, that was like their thing. They were like, right, we're going to organize a surprise stripper because we can't be there and it'll be really funny.
Did they know she didn't want one?
Yeah. Oh, which apparently makes it funnier. Again, bullying.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, fine. So they had phoned this company and said to them, here's a picture of the groom and we would like the stripper to look like him. So my brother is tall, slim.
Yeah. Yeah.
White.
Yeah.
That is important in this story.
Yeah.
He wears glasses. Yeah. He almost like a sort of fashionable accountant.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. He pulled it off well, yes.
His surname is Sergeant, as mine was.
Yeah.
So what the stripper company, the pimp, if you will, took from this was the stripper that actually arrived. He arrived early. So it's in the middle of the day.
Yeah.
Daylight hours.
Yeah.
No one should strip in daylight hours.
We shouldn't. No.
We had a phone call to say that he was going to be arriving in an hour, and it was at like 1 p.m. and me and the other bridesmaid were like, oh my god, what are we going to do?
Were you in like a house or?
We were in a house. Yeah. We were like in a private house in the countryside, outside. Everyone was sober because they were hungover. They hadn't started for the night.
Mm.
Everyone's sober. It's daylight. What are we going to do? We're trying to get everyone to drink in like a non-sort of coercive
forced
way.
Yeah.
That's a shot. But no one's having it. Everyone sat outside because that's where the performance was going to be.
Oh.
He appears. So I go around the end. I go around the entrance to like greet him.
Yeah.
So let's remember what my brother looks like.
Yeah. I'm assuming this wasn't.
This guy. I was like, I'm me, so I'm the same driver. So I was like, oh, good afternoon. Gracious, welcome. Godspeed.
Yeah.
My name is Olivia.
Lovely
I'm organizing. Yeah, lovely. Excellent. I'm here. I'm organizing. I'm chief. You know, I'm organizing this. And who are you, please? And he went, my name's Axel from Wolverhampton. I was like, right, wonderful. You sound exactly like my brother. Axel from Wolverhampton was the blackest man I've ever seen. He was ginormous. And I don't just mean his willy.
Yeah.
He was
big personality.
Stacked.
Yeah.
Right, he was wearing a policeman's uniform because I guess that's what
Sergeant.
They took from the...
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm like, this is something else. So then he says... wait, can I do a Birmingham accent?
Well, your Wolverhampton was spectacular, so fair play.
Thank you. That'll get me into it. No. Wolverhampton, my.
Oh, yeah, that's a bit of slam it down a bit. Just as you're fine.
Right. My music doesn't work on my PA system.
Right.
So I haven't actually got any music to play during the performance.
Oh, no, he didn't go raw, did he, Axel?
So I was like, fucking hell, Axel. Yeah. It's daylight, they're sober, and we're going to have to do this without backing music. So I was like, don't worry. So I pulled my car around to the outside area. I had to play music in my car so it wasn't loud at all. Then Axel appears. Everyone who's sober in daylight is like, what is this all about? He starts stripping off. He gets his willy out.
Oh, yeah.
It is the biggest thing I've ever seen in my life. It is not even a baby's arm. It's a full-grown adult's arm. It is ginormous. He was grinding on Charlotte, the bride,
with no music.
No, well, faint music in the background. Yeah. He was grinding on her, like, flopping it on her chest to the point where she had bruises the next day because that's how aggressive he was. Penis flapping her.
Penis.
I can't even. It was fascinating. People were watching him and they were so intrigued. How is this man so endowed?
Yeah.
And then he just left and then he just got in his car and said, cheerio.
That's right.
Glad you enjoyed the show. But what's funny is I've literally, no joke, that was nearly 10 years ago and I've met 3 or 4 people since that have said about a stripper. They've said Axel from Wolverhampton.
No. He's like a legend. Oh my God.
If you've seen his schlong.
Yeah. No.
I can't explain it. I'll find a picture to show you.
I feel we should recommend him now. He should be the picture
Axel
for this
from
podcast.
It was the best thing in my life because if you're going to have a stripper, you want one with a ginormous willy in daylight without alcohol.
I mean, I wouldn't personally. That's not the environment I'd pick. A sober. Hugely hugged Axel. Oh, well.
It was so. I find them. I mean, in life, very aggressive.
Yeah,
Axel's was like.
I feel sorry for Charlotte.
You didn't want to meet it in
bruised,
a dark alley.
Bruised her sternum.
I mean?
Yeah.
What's no? She they didn't. What?
Sternum's chest, isn't it?
Right.
Or have I just
yes,
got that very wrong.
I don't know. I think I'm thinking of hymen.
Although, by the sounds of it, Axel could reach any part. So.
Axel could open the Argos catalogue with his penis alone. That's how strong it was. If we were glamping, he could have pitched up a tent. Like,
good
don't
Lord.
Worry, guys.
Good
You've
Lord.
Lost a pole, but Axel's here. Yeah. Lie down. Yeah.
All right. Need your tyre changing? Axel will prop the car up. Amazing.
Axel.
Maybe he should branch out from stripping. There's so much more he could do with his time.
He could offer so many services.
He could. Like a beanstalk.
Oh,
wonderful.
My God. It was really, I think about it often.
Yeah. I bet.
On that note.
On those lonely nights.
Thank you for talking to me today.
Well, I just think we didn't end on James's penis, but we ended on Axel's penis. So, you know, happy days.
We should come up with a jingle.
No,
if
I'm not
you
sure
like
we should.
The sound of our pod, see Axel's rod.
Well, that should get rid of the remaining what we have listeners, I think, probably. Yeah.
I'm crying.
It's been a schlong time. Nice to talk to you.
Don't let it be so schlong again. Wait, I need to come up with more puns.
No, okay, no. We should probably do that. Let's stop recording and then we'll pun away.
No, we don't want them to miss out on our genius.
No.
Okay, I'm going to press stop.
Yeah, okay.
Bye.
Oh.
Thank you so much for listening. It really does mean the world. If you find this podcast even remotely helpful or moderately entertaining, share it with all your friends and family. You can DM me any questions, queries, if you want to share any stories on the podcast Instagram at I'll Marry You Podcast. Get in touch. I want to hear all your tall tales. See you soon.
I'll Marry You is a podcast by Olivia Coleman. The music is Mr. Sunnyface by Wayne Jones, and the show is produced and edited by Drew Toynbee.